So this morning we want to talk just a little bit about our purpose in Christ. And not just our purpose in Christ, but our eternal purpose in Christ. So we know that through the Word of God, and we've talked about this many times, the Word of God, it instructs us, it teaches us, it reveals unto us God's main plan and purpose for all of mankind. So when we read and we study the Word of God, and here's what it's sometimes hard to get across. God's Word is just not an accumulation of stories and religious teachings. It's more than that. And as believers, we need to see it as more than that. We need to see it as God's communication unto us. We need to see it as God revealing unto us the things that have taken place since the very beginning of time, from the foundation of the world as we know it, and it was all determined and put in place by His eternal purpose. So through the study and the meditation of God's Word, and we cannot do it without the leadership and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, so we know that we must be a believer in order to understand the Word of God. Now, there are those out there in the world today that claim to understand God's Word, but if they're not saved, if they're not born again, they don't have a true understanding of what God's Word is all about. So this is where we come in. This is what we are supposed to be doing in our life in Christ. We're supposed to be helping others see and understand what the Word of God is truly all about. So we know that without the sacrifice that God allowed, without the crucifixion, without the resurrection, then there would be no eternal life. So that's the first thing that we realize and that we understand. So we can now, because of what God done for us through His Son, Jesus Christ, we can be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? That's what it's all about, the redemption. And with this, we receive that eternal reward, that eternal kingdom that God has in store for us. So there'll be some that will receive it, but others will reject it, and they will also receive an eternal reward, but it will be eternal punishment in hell. So God has always had a purpose. He did not create nothing without a purpose. He didn't create you. He didn't create me. He didn't create anything without a purpose. And this purpose involved a plan which for us, for mankind, and His plan meant that we can be saved, that we can be forgiven of our sins, and we can be eternally saved. So that's what we need to get that in our mind. Everything that we do in our life has something to do with our eternal rewards. If it has no eternal value, we should not be doing it in our life. It must have eternal value in Christ. So in Hebrews, let me go over and read you a scripture in Hebrews. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 6. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, starting with verse 17. Here's what he says. Wherein God willing, so God was willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability, which means what? Immutability means an unchangeable stability that He showed unto us of His counsel. He confirmed it by an oath, which is His Word, the promises of His Word, that by two immutable things, and we're going to see what those two things are, in which it was possible for God not to lie. So these two immutable things made it so God, anything that we see through the promises of His Word, there is no lie to it. Everything is the truth. Everything is either coming to pass or going to come to pass because it's a promise given unto us by God. He said, we made a strong consolation or strong compassion who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which is our salvation, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, steadfast, and which entereth into the within the veil, whether the forerunner is for entered in, even Jesus made an high priest after the order of Melchizedek. So this oath, this promise, this word that God has given unto us, it is absolute. It's not only absolute, but it's reliable. It's not only reliable, but it's eternal. So from now on through eternity, we're always going to have this word instilled within us, because this word is Christ Himself. So these promises that God has made unto us are based upon His nature, His very nature. He did not promise nothing that He didn't back up with Himself. With Himself through the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So it's the very nature of God. So that means that God is what? He's a supreme God of the universe. He is all powerful. He is all knowing. His presence is everywhere at all times. He is the creator of all things. He's the master of all things. He's the ruler over everything, and He is the giver of life. He gave you and I life here upon this earth, and more importantly, He will give you and I eternal life with Him. So therefore, when we look to the Father, when we look to the Father, when we look to the Son, when we look to the Holy Spirit, they are the head. They are the top, the very beginning, and that's what we look to. So He says, by these two unchangeable things, or these two immutable things. So this proves that God does not lie. God has never lied. God will never lie. And it gives unto us our eternal purpose. So what is the first? What is the first unchangeable thing? It's the promise that God gave us that He, through His Son, by the indwelling Holy Spirit, will live within us if we'll accept Him. So that means as believers, you have the Holy Spirit indwelling within you. You have Christ dwelling within you. So you don't have to look very far to find Him, because He's right here. He's right here within us. So this means that through the crucifixion, through the resurrection, we bear the righteousness of Christ. The second thing is the promise that God has given us through His Word. The promise of His Word. In the beginning was what? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was what? The Word was God. So this, He founded everything, His righteousness, everything that is unchangeable is founded upon the truth of God's Word. Therefore, it is unchangeable. Unchangeable. And He represents it through His entirety that He has given unto us. So we want to see, what is our part? What is our eternal purpose in Christ Jesus? So let's go to Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. And we're going to start with verse 8. The book of Ephesians, chapter 3, starting with verse 8. And He says, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints. So we're talking about humility here. So one thing that we must have as believers is humility. And He says, because of this, He said, is this grace given? So God has given us. He showed us mercy through the crucifixion, the resurrection, and He gives us grace. When we accept that salvation, when we're born again, then He has given us grace. And He said, He gave us the grace so that I should preach, that I should be a living example, that I should tell others, that I should show others what the saving grace of Jesus Christ is all about. And Paul said, He gave it to me to preach to the Gentiles, and He said, He gave it to me to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. The unsearchable riches. The things, God has things in store for us in our life that we've never seen yet. That we've never heard of yet. We read about it through the Word of God, but we've not experienced it yet. God has this in store for us in our life. So He says, to make all men see what is the fellowship The fellowship of the mystery. Kenneth mentioned it a little bit when he walked in this morning. What did he talk? The fellowship. This is what it's all about. When we come together in the name of Christ, then God wants us to fellowship. We fellowship with Him. We fellowship with one another through Him. This is the fellowship of the mystery, which is the salvation, the saving grace of Jesus Christ, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus. There's not one thing upon this earth that wasn't created that the Son was not involved in. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. So He said, this is all according to the eternal purpose. That He had before Adam was ever created, before Eve was ever brought along, before anything was ever done. This was God's eternal purpose, which He proposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom then now we have boldness. We have boldness, we have access. What the Bible tells us, to come boldly before the throne of God. See, back in Hebrews, when we were talking about the veil, if you remember that there was a veil between the outer and the inner, and the priest had to go in for the people, but now the crucifixion and the resurrection, it said that veil was rent in two. We have complete, total access to God. And He says, be bold about it. Come to the Lord. That doesn't matter what's on your... God already knows what's on your heart. So why should you be shy about bringing it to Him? Come to the Lord, He says, with boldness. So that we have the boldness with confidence. He said, not only you got to be bold, you got to be confident. And we must have faith. It does no good to come to God if we don't have faith. So that means all of humanity is appointed by God. Now, what does that mean in yours and my case? It depends on whether you've chosen that appointment in your life. Some people choose to accept it. Some people choose not to accept it. So, because some choose not to accept it, then it's mostly because we don't understand it. And why don't we understand it? It's because we choose not to understand it. So in our life in Christ, and people say, you know, all the time, well, I just don't know the Bible that well, or I don't understand this, or I don't understand that. You'll never, if you keep saying that. So we must choose to understand it. God gives us understanding as He sees fit that we need in our life. So how do you gain, and this is why a lot of people don't want the understanding, most of your understanding, most of my understanding is going to come through what? Suffering. It's going to come through things in our life, teachable experiences in our life, and God is going to give us understanding through those teachable experiences. So there's going to be suffering. And God said, we thank the Lord for that, because now we are better for it. We have an understanding. So why? Why do we have this? People say, well, what do I want understanding for? I'm saved one of these days. I'm going to go on to be with the Lord. So why do I want understanding? Because it's that understanding that helps us to let our light shine. That helps us to be an example to those around us. Because there's many, many, many people in our life today, and if we would wake up and see how close it is to the Lord's return, we would be on our knees daily, every moment of the day, praying for understanding so that we might be able to show somebody else the way to salvation. We need this understanding. So there's people that don't want the understanding. So that means there's people that have not yet recognized the mercy and the grace of God. There's people that doesn't want to allow their light to shine. They just want to be whoever they are and one of these days go on to be with the Lord. God, and in order to do this, in order to see this in our life, we have to learn to examine ourselves. So there's people that don't want to examine yourself. How many of you got up this morning? You threw on, and this is just, no, I don't know if anybody done it or not, so don't take it personally. You just threw on some clothes to go to church. You went to look in the mirror and you said, I ain't looking in the mirror, I'm good enough. And away you went. That was lack of understanding. This is what we do in our life in Christ a lot of times. We just throw on whatever it is that we think God has given us. I'm good enough to go. And we just go. And God's standing back here saying, come back here. You didn't examine yourself yet. There's some work that's got to be done. You know, a guy over at our church one time, and I thought all the women was going to kill him, but he was talking about the ladies, and he said, you know, any old barn looks good with a fresh coat of paint. Sometimes we need a fresh coat of paint. Okay? We need that in our life in Christ. In 1 Corinthians. Here, let's see what it says in 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 31 and 32. Here's what he says. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Alright? This means that if we would take a good look at ourselves, God already knows what's going on in our life. He wants us to see what's going on in our life. But if we don't take a good look at ourselves to see what's going on in our life, you know what He's going to do? He's going to show you. And we would rather, He would rather that we saw it ourselves than Him have to show us. So He said, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are what? We are chastened. There's some of this suffering. We are chastened of the Lord that we should not be condemned in the world. So why does He do it? When you were growing up and you got a whipping and your mom and dad said, oh, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. And you knew they were lying. But this is what God's talking about. So He says that we should be chastened, but He didn't, not to condemn us, but to help us, to show us, to lead us in the right pathway or in the direction that He wants us to go in our life. So this means that we can avoid the judgment of God. We can. Just as if the Bible says we do not have to sin. And a lot of people, when I say that, they just, my wife's one of them. She said, no, that's not true. We do not. When Christ lived upon this earth or walked upon this earth, did He ever sin?
No.
So that means now that I have the righteousness of Christ living within me, I don't have to. But I do because sometimes I still look back and fall prey to my old nature. The temptations that come through Satan through my old nature. But we can avoid the judgment of God if we want to, if we judge ourselves first. If we would see the things in our life that aren't pleasing unto God, He would allow us through His Holy Spirit to take care of those things so He wouldn't have to judge us. So that He wouldn't have to condemn us. But we must do it. And this is the problem that we have. We are not sincere with ourselves and we're not truthful with ourselves. Because when we look at things in our own life, we tend to cover it up. All that ain't that bad. The Lord, He won't mind that at all. I can tell you, if it's sin, He minds it. He might be allowing it, but He minds it. So this is where, when we look at this in our life, God wants us to see the sinfulness that is hindering our relationship with Him. The sinfulness that is keeping a separation between us and our fellowship with Him. Because everything that is hindering our relationship with Him is hindering our relationship with our loved ones in the world that we want to see saved. You understand that? So, if we fail to judge ourselves, if we fail to be honest with ourselves and confess our sins unto God, then we're going to face the consequences of the sinfulness that is within us. But we have, as believers, we have the privilege of fellowship with God. We just have to be willing participants in that fellowship with Him. Let's go back to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, and here's what He said. Because we have all this from the very beginning in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning to the very end of the last verse in Revelation. We are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. And he said, because we have this, here's what we should be able to do. We should be able to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Now, when we're looking in this mirror, so to speak, at our spiritual life in Christ, we're saying, Lord, just show us those things in our life that aren't pleasing unto you. We're looking for something big to jump out at us. But he said it's those things that so doth easily beset you. So what is it in your life that doth so easily beset you? Just think of one little thing, and it has happened to every one of us already this morning. Something, one little thing, irritated us. Amen? Those things that doth so easily beset us. Now, we felt it, we saw it, we're just going on to church anyhow, but what did it do? It hindered a little bit what the Holy Spirit wanted you to feel. Your excitement about getting ready to come and fellowship with the Lord. So he said it's these little things that we don't think about. These little things that oh, that's okay. It's just a little itty bitty sin. God won't care. It's these little things. He said, lay those aside. These things that does so easily beset you. And he says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The problem is, we're outrunning God. He says, let us run with patience. How many of you feel like sometimes you're just running in one place all the time? Because we're doing it with no patience. He says, let us run with patience. And when we do, he said, let us look to Jesus. Not to the world. Not to the things that are happening around us into the world. Not to the sinfulness that's going on around us in the world. But he says, let us look to Jesus because he is the author and finisher of our faith. Why is that? Because he is the one that came down here and was crucified, paid our sin debt, so that we could have his righteousness in place of. So, he is the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy... Now, pay attention to this, because you think you lose your joy over these least little things that happen to us in our life. But here's what he said. He said, for the joy that was set before him... Okay? Now, what are you thinking about there? When he's talking about this, he tells you what. He said, this was joy that was set before me. He said, to endure the cross... That was joy that was set before me. How many of us could have said that? When they were going to lead us up to crucify us, how many of you could have said, I'm happy to go? We get crucified every day and somehow we're not happy to go, are we? Not one bit are we happy. But he said, I seen it as joy. The joy that was set before him. He endured the cross. He despised the shame. And now he is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. There has to be a proper response in our life to the things that are happening in our life. So that means everything that we have to look at, we have to look at that it has purpose. It has plan. And we're happy and willfully and desire to do it. And we're going to strive to do it. We're going to strive to fulfill the purpose that God has set in store for us in our life. And you know who we're going to use that as an example? We're going to use Christ as our example. That's who we're going to use. And we're going to look at that. And we're going to say, when the next thing that comes up on us and we start feeling sorry for ourselves and all these things are starting to go on in our life, we're going to look to Christ and we're going to say, He was happy to die for us. He was happy to be shamed. He was happy to be crucified so that when this moment in my life came, I might still have joy in my salvation. And that's what we should be seeing in our life in Christ. David finally realized that. Let's go back to Psalm real quick. The 32nd Psalm, verse 5. Let's see what David said. The 32nd Psalm, verse 5. Here's what he said. David said, first of all, I learned to acknowledge my sin unto thee, unto God. I learned that I must do that. And second of all, he said, therefore, when I learn to do that, then mine iniquity I'm not going to hide. Have I not hid? And he said, not only will I acknowledge it, but he said, I will confess. I'll confess my transgressions unto the Lord. And he said, when I do, thou wilt forgive me of the iniquity of my sin. This is very hard to do. You guys should mark this down. I have to learn to acknowledge my sin to God. Not only do I have to learn to acknowledge it unto God, but then I have to learn to ask forgiveness for it. See, we don't do that a lot in our life. I'm going to go over and read this. I've read it 100 times, but if I try to quote it, I'll get part of it wrong. In the book of 1 John 1:9, how many of you have got that written down and marked in your Bible? 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, can anybody finish that for me? If we confess our sins, He is what?
Faithful
and just, and He'll what? Forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So God, in His infinite wisdom, has always known what His plan is for us. He's just waiting for us to grasp that in our life. Lord, what is your... Talk to people every day. I just don't know what God wants me to do. So I'm going to ask you, whose fault is that? Well, first of all, it's the preacher's. Because he didn't tell me. But if he does tell me, I'm not going to listen to him anyhow. But it's our fault. It's our fault. God's always known the plan. He's revealed it unto us through... And see, that's the next thing I tell them. I don't know what God has for me to do. He's already revealed it to you. If you've studied the Word of God any at all, you know what your purpose is on this earth as a believer. You know. Now, just because you decided not to pay attention to it or accept it, but He has revealed it to us through His Word, and He has revealed it to us. Now pay attention to this. He has revealed it to us exactly. Exactly how He wants us to live by it. The way that He has prepared us for it, and the way that He wants us to live by it, so that there is no doubt in our life what we are supposed to be doing for the Lord, but yet I do not know what God wants me to do in my life. And the only thing I can say is you need to study the Word more. You need to meditate on the Word more. Because this plan was revealed through Christ, because He is the one. If you remember, when Christ came to this earth and when He was about to be crucified, He said, I came not to, for all these, He said, I came to fulfill the promises of this Word. That's why I came. I fulfill everything that you read from Genesis up through. Christ's place was to fulfill those promises, so that we would not have to look for the fulfillment, because they're already fulfilled. He's already given that to us in our life. But you know, today in the church, we still don't understand the significance of Christ's life on this earth. The only time we ever really get a true understanding is when we gather together at Christmas and at Easter. When we celebrate His birth, and we celebrate, most people celebrate His death. I'm not celebrating His death, I'm celebrating His resurrection. That's what gave me my life. That His death paid my sin debt, but His resurrection gave me my life and assured me that I do not have to sin. Even though I do sin, it assured me that I don't have to sin. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. I'm going to quit. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Here's what he said. Who hath saved us? All right. So now we're going to learn the order of our eternal purpose. First of all, he saved us. We had to, by faith, we had to accept. We had to want that. It said he saved us, and then he called us with a holy calling. And he said, not according to anything that we thought we could do. Because when we think we can do something and God hasn't given it to us to do, we're going to fail miserably at it. But he said, he saved us, he called us with a holy calling, not according to our own works, but according to his purpose. His purpose. His purpose that was put in plan, in place for us. If y'all would, those of you who made it to some of the Bible study about when our name was written in the book of life, you'll understand that God's purpose for us was from the very beginning, before anything else was, His purpose for us was. So His purpose for us, which was given in Christ Jesus when? Before the world began, he said, it is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. When he came to this earth, when he was born upon this earth, it said he abolished death and he brought forth life and immortality to light through the what? The gospel. Now I ask this all the time. How important is the Word of God? It is most important in our life because this is how we communicate with God. So our salvation is not based upon anything that we do. I don't care how many good deeds that you do. If it isn't done through the purpose and plan of God's Holy Spirit, our salvation is not based on that. It comes through the power of God. Salvation is God's purpose and grace that He has revealed unto us through His calling, and He has called everyone. Everyone that has ever been brought forth to this earth, God has called. Not everyone is accepted, but God has called. And the ones that don't accept, it's because we base our life here upon this earth upon our own self-righteousness, when our life should be based upon the divine calling of God in our life. How many of you heard a divine calling of God the moment you got out of bed this morning? Every one of you did. In some way, every one of us did. But if I ask you what it was, you'd say, I don't know. Why is that? My wife tells me when I say I don't know, it's because I'm not paying attention. Anybody else with me? Sonny, you can raise your hand. Kenneth? Because we're not paying attention. So, for those of us who have already accepted the saving grace of Jesus Christ, we're set apart now in God. And God wants us to live a life that is well-pleasing unto Him, because He saved us, He called us to live a holy life, and He did this not because we deserved it, none of us deserved it, but because this was His purpose and His plan for us from the very beginning of time. If it was because we deserved it, we wouldn't be born. But He had a purpose and a plan for us. So that means God has already showed unto us His eternal purpose in our lives as believers. What He wants us to do, He wants us to come to know and to understand that eternal purpose. And what's it for? He said His eternal purpose is, if you go back in Ephesians, He says, according to His eternal purpose, which He proposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, to give us boldness, to give us confidence, and to give us faith in Him, so that we might live our life accordingly in a manner that He sees fit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to You this morning, Lord, it's truly with thankful hearts that we look into Your Word, Lord. And we pray that within all things, even through the sufferings, the trials, the tribulations, the temptations, Lord, we find joy in You. And we remain joyful in You, Heavenly Father. And we see our purpose in this life, Heavenly Father. And our purpose, Lord, is to show others. To show others what Your saving grace is all about, Heavenly Father. So that others may come to know before, Heavenly Father, it is everlasting too late. Lord, we all have an eternal purpose. Lord, we all want to accept that eternal purpose that You have given unto us. So we pray this day, Lord, for wisdom, for knowledge, for leadership and guidance through Your Holy Spirit, that we might gain the understanding that You have in store for us, Heavenly Father, so that we might continue on doing things the way You would have them to be done. For we know, Lord, that You told us in John 3:17, I came not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through You might be saved. We pray for that ability in our life to show others that the world through You might be saved. Forgive us, Lord, for we have sinned and fallen short of Your glory. Help us, Lord, not to forget to give You praise, honor, and glory for all things. For in Jesus' name we pray. And amen. Amen. We have a song?
No, I thought you were going to do the communion.
You want to do communion first? We can do that. And then we'll have a song. Okay, let me have... this morning we are going to do communion. So if I have a couple volunteers... Come on, Lindsay. And Jody's going to help you. So in the book of 1 Corinthians, and we talked about this a little bit, Paul told the church in Corinth, he said, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. So when you're examining yourself, what you're looking at for is God's purpose and plan in your life. We all have sin, so we're not going to stand here and contemplate over all the sinfulness in our life. But we're going to look and see what God's purpose and plan is for our life. And we're going to let God show us through that. Because when we are receiving the cup and the bread, He wants us to understand the righteousness of Christ that lives within us. And that's what we're looking towards as we take communion. So also in the book of 1 Corinthians, here's what Paul said, 1 Corinthians 11:23. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, He took the bread, and when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. And after the same manner, He took the cup, when He had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of Me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death until He comes. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for allowing us to remember, for allowing us to see within us Your righteousness that You so freely gave unto us through Your crucifixion and Your resurrection. And we just pray, Lord, that as we see it, Lord, help us to cherish it in our life, Help us, Lord, to want to show it unto others. For, Lord, we want everyone to know the goodness of your salvation. Help us, Lord, to remain close in our fellowship with you so that we might always be found doing those things that are pleasing unto thee. Again, Lord, forgive us, for we have sinned and fallen short of your glory. And help us not to forget to give you praise and honor and glory for all things. For in Jesus' name we pray. And amen.
Amen.
Does anybody else have anything this morning? If not, we're going to end first with the doxology.
Yeah, everyone wants to do doxology.
That's fine.
We're going to do the